Folks, before we get going, we are going to do a moment of silence for DMX,
Derek Ferguson,
Quindin Tarver.
All right. Beef, wine, and shenanigans. Here we are. Back to being, you know, socially distant because Kirk and I haven't worked together for a few days now. And of course, Mark is, I can't even tell you last time I've seen Mark Abbott in person. Good Lord. And it's so unlike us. It's so unlike us. There's a lot of brotherly love on this show in case you folks haven't figured that out. Anyway, Stephen Van Patten here as always with Mark Abbott and Kirk Johnson. DMX passed away. 50 is way too soon to clock out. Especially somebody that actually gave us, you know, a lot of entertainment, you know. I remember watching Deadpool, and when X is gonna give it to you came up, I was like, oh, D's getting a check. Oh, that's nice. You know, I felt good. It was a feel-good moment, you know, because I'm always thinking about money. Anyway, so, you know, just the fact that you know, he's gone, and I already kind of like exhausted the topic a little bit, like in terms of just how we're not really taking care of our Black celebrities, but you know, at least the kids are getting the masters. I guess Jay and Beyonce. Yeah.
Jay and Beyonce bought the masters
are stepping in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Giving it to the family, which is awesome.
So that is, yeah, that's certainly commendable. You know, so there it is. I know his fans are, I know his fans are all very upset, but I will say this though, on a, not to be flippant or make it a light thing or whatever, but I am kind of glad that if he was gonna go, that he would go at a time during limited karaoke, because karaoke bars right now would have been a mess. I would not, for one, first of all, I would not have been in the mood to watch Chad or Miriam go, X gonna give it to you, gonna, no, that's, I'm not in the mood for that, first of all.
Right.
And secondly, you know, in the Black karaoke spots where folks take stuff real seriously and damn near want to fight if you mess the song up. Oh no, that bitch didn't. And I mean, we don't need that either, to be completely honest. So, you know, if we're going to do, because, and I say this with all the love and respect that I had for Whitney and Prince, karaoke bars, when they went, a mess. A complete mess. So, I mean, you have not, until you've watched someone who cannot sing at all, but has just enough Hennessy in them to try to belt out "I Will Always Love You." Like, you know what? It's an experience. And it's one that I think I'm happy that we avoided with DMX. But we had some other unfortunate instances as far as people passing away go. Kirk,
yeah,
let's talk about Mr. Ferguson.
Yeah, I heard that the other day, a couple of days ago, actually, Derek Ferguson passed away, and I was, it was like, wow. He's Brooklyn born. He's a Brooklynite.
Yes,
I don't know if he was Brooklyn born, but I'll say he lived in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. He was a writer, an author of a lot of independent books that you can find on his website, DerekFerguson.com.
Yeah.
He also did reviews. He did movie reviews, which were also interesting. I had a great slant to him in terms of you know, how we're working with character development and stories. And a lot of them were old school
yeah.
Movies, like like Soylent Green, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Logan's Run, he did a review on that, and his reviews are always interesting. Yeah. I did enjoy reviews, and it's, you know, I've always wanted to meet him, but never had an opportunity to, a chance to.
Right.
Like, I really would have loved to have met him, because we pretty much don't live far from each other. Mm. And as he's a name in the pulp circles. I know that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a lot of people who like pulp literature or into pulp literature actually, you know, you say it his name, and his name meant something.
Yes.
That felt more like a shock to me than anything else, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, and I've seen him mostly on Facebook, you know, more interactions with anything else. Right. Usually on Facebook. But yeah, he was much loved, and my condolences to the family.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, for me, it's like I knew the name. I had never had a chance to meet the brother, but one jarring thing for me is like when he did pass away and Facebook blew up over it, I was confronted with how many mutual friends we have.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God. You know, it's like that really took me by surprise.
It's a big circle.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So yeah, like you said, condolences to the families. Unfortunately, we got one more. Mark.
Yeah.
Quindin Tarver. Actually, he died April 2nd, mm-hmm. and it was a car crash that took his life, that took him from this world down in Texas. Mm-hmm. The name may not be familiar to a lot of people, but he was the young man who performed the song When Doves Cry and Everybody's Free in the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet film.
Yeah.
He was actually, and he had suffered, I did a little looking up on him, and apparently he had, his earlier career was just completely messed up by management in the music industry. They, you know, they just basically did him dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that was interesting was that he had suffered with substance abuse. Mm-hmm. And he said that he had turned his life around when in 2016 he was asked to perform at Prince's tribute.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was at that point the audience reception of his performance made him go into rehab and get himself together. And he's one of those guys that, you know, you don't hear a lot about these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't put out major albums. They weren't touring with a lot of people, but you remember the moments of their performances. I remember people over the years, you've heard people try to do covers mm-hmm. of your favorite artists. I mean, Prince wrote a lot of music for a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you never heard his version of it. You know, you get the privilege to hear Round and Round when he did it. I would have loved to hear Prince sing Manic Monday. That I would just would have loved. So for this young man to take one of the most iconic songs in Prince's discography and just completely, I just remember hearing him sing that and was just like, wow, that was the most amazing version I have ever heard anybody do. And it's just, it's sad. It really is. Yeah. Is that, you know, with everything else going on, it's just that a car crash took him from us. And I know he must have been working on some new material. I know it now. And, you know, my condolences to the families and to his fans who probably have followed him all these years. I'm sure he was performing in places we didn't know about or anything. So that's a tough one too.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know.
So yeah, condolences to the family, of course. He was only 38, folks.
Yeah.
Wow. So that sucks. That really sucks. Wow.
Yeah.
So, well, now that we pay tribute to our honored and resting in peace and power, I guess now it's time for a hard left that we're known for. And we can get into Falcon and Winter Soldier, because I know you both saw this episode. And I would imagine Kirk is probably on his way to Jared's to buy a wedding ring. And then from there, going to Wakanda to marry him, Adore Melage. You know, I just don't forget my invite. That's all I'm saying, because I just want to be there. For
First of all, I gotta find a way to get in. I have to implement my workout regimen, because I got to get this pack up if I'm gonna go and ask Adore Melage to marry me.
Well, maybe not. Maybe they like the fluffy, you know, Teddy Pendergrass looking.
I'm not gonna, I'm not going for a full six pack. I'm maybe going for a nice, like a soft keg, like a nice hard keg, right?
Exactly.
But I cook, I clean. Let me tell you how I got this ring.
Oh, for those of you that aren't familiar with Cardi B lyrics.
Oh my god.
Man.
And man. We're not expecting Kirk to
she be like Kirk,
Cardi B lyrics.
She's like, Kirk, what are you cooking? Macaroni in a pot.
Well,
boy.
It may be working out, and it might be taking a cooking class, learning some bear spice recipes. But we wish you all the luck in the world with that.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, the way she kicked up that shield. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Everything. Okay, so yeah. Big spoiler alert.
Mad so spoiler the spoilers,
Dory,
guys.
The Dory Milaje attack. They're trying to get to Baron Zemo, but fake Captain America gets in the way, and we're gonna get into him in a minute. But and then it was funny, because it looked like Sam was gonna stay out of it.
Yeah. Sam and Bucky. Then
Sam and Bucky looked like they would be like, well, this ain't really our fight.
This ain't fight. Right. What Bucky say? You're doing great, Captain.
He's getting his ass beat.
You don't want to do that. Okay, never mind. Just right. go. Can't tell you nothing.
And then the wildest thing made all the sense in the world. The little doot-dee-doot-dee-doot thing that he's an ATM machine and basically popped his arm off.
She had your code, Bucky. She had your code.
That reminded me of almost every kung fu that move that kills you,
right,
or stops you in your tracks.
Yeah.
And he's like, taught you the five finger death technique.
I mean, he's gonna have to marry her now, because she got his codes.
What was funny about that, Sam was like, did you know she could do that?
Word.
No.
Word. I ain't gonna front. I ain't gonna be mad if that's like that turns out to be like a love connection right there, because that all makes sense to me now. Right. That all makes sense. She helped. Wait, she saved your mind, right? Mm-hmm. She saved your mind. She saved your. You know, she showed you how to probably use the arm, right? Too.
Mm-hmm.
She got the codes to the arm.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't just kill you, man. You marry her, and you cried in front of her. Man, you gotta marry her.
So does that become the next kind of like WandaVision type show? Does that, it's like her and him.
I would. You know what? I'd be okay with that. In a
little house somewhere.
He'd be the only one, and he's actually the only one who's allowed to be in Wakanda in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So he's like the only white boy in Wakanda pretty much at this point. And he married. He can't even cheat.
Oh, cheat.
You mean a dice? Oh, you mean a dice? Okay.
He had a better chance at dice than
man.
Than some strange in Wakanda. I want to say
when that sister threw the after the they stopped playing tag with the spears, throwing it at each other. Right. My sister caught his shield, threw the spear through the loop.
You know what's interesting about that is. Yeah. It's very, very much apparent. There's a large piece of arrogance within this Captain America. Mm-hmm. And my thing is that, so at what point did you bother to brief yourself on anything related to where, you know, any people you were going to run into? Because mm-hmm. because they come in and he didn't know who they were. That was the first problem. And I'm like, okay, so then you were warned, like, listen, you don't want to tussle with these women because that's a completely different. And then they just put your shield in the table, like took you out of the fight completely. So it was like, I had
the audacity to do a Captain America step. She did a dubstep on that shield and caught it. I had to tell her, yeah, give it back to the baby. Give it back to him. We don't need that.
Give it back to him before he start crying.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
Like giving it back as pacifier, practically. Oh, that was bananas.
And very prompt. They told him, you know, you got only this many hours and then we coming for him.
That's right.
Wakanda don't know no CP time. They don't. Wakanda don't know no CPT. It's like, man, they said they're coming in 8 hours. They're coming in.
So seven hours, 59 minutes. They were outside the door. Is it eight? Is it eight yet?
How does that go? 7 hours and 48 minutes. And if I had to watch it before they know.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Wow.
That was
Florence Kasumba. Kudos to you and the ladies.
Yeah.
That was good stuff. That was
good stuff.
That was some black girl magic right there, boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, I remember seeing her in when NBC did the Yellow Brick Road. The Wizard of Oz
show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Oz, yeah, and Florence Kasumba was in it. She was the Wicked Witch of the East, I think it was.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah, and she was good too.
That's funny because I thought I was the only person that watched that when that's why it got canceled.
No, because I was watching it too.
Wait, all three of us were watching it. That's why it got canceled. That's why it got canceled.
That's it.
It feels like NBC was like this. Oh, them three niggas is watching the show. We can't be giving them no joy like that. We can't be making them happy and shit. We gotta get rid of this show. One season.
They literally, I honestly believe they were literally like, yeah, you're not gonna believe this. You know that show we just canceled on the other channel that Abbott was watching? Yeah, he liked another one. Yeah, we gotta get rid of this second one.
I think the only reason Hannibal didn't get canceled is because he missed that.
Yeah.
You two missed that, and then that's on Netflix, and then I tell y'all about it.
That's what it was.
Y'all got the three of them? Nah, man. Just man. Pretty boy. The rest of them, they, you know. Yeah, right.
Exactly. Oh, shit. But yeah, man. But Walker.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah.
I was not prepared for that ending.
Mm-mm.
I was not. Mm-mm. And yeah. I'm trying now to figure out, even in the Marvel universe, how do you do damage control for that? Like
you don't look so now
if Tony Stark was around.
Look, here's the thing. here's, and this is going to sound cynical as fuck, but this Captain America is actually more in tune with America, if you understand what I'm saying. Just kind of goes to a country and just does whatever the fuck. You know, and to Kirk's point, didn't know who the Dora Milaje were. Kind of like when we send armies up into the Middle East. They don't know what they're doing. Half of them, they're like 18-year-old kids, never seen a Pakistani person before in their life.
Exactly.
You know, but we do these things, and we shed blood, and it is what it is. This Captain America is perfectly, because what was the even as a fan of all of the movies from First Avenger all the way down to Infinity Wars, what was the one thing that didn't quite click with this this pretty Steve Rogers dude? He's too fucking nice.
Mad.
He's super like.
Well, he was a product. World. He was a product of his time.
Yes, he was. Well,
You know what? I want to say he was an exemplary product of his time.
Thank you. Yes, I go
because because in his time, you couldn't go to Bushwick. And you black in Brooklyn, maybe Bushwick or wherever, but man, his time was pretty still shitty. But I mean, maybe one of those two were just probably
that didn't once. Define him.
That didn't define him, right?
So
right.
that was right.
You know, the thing is, we have to remember that Captain America wasn't supposed to be a soldier. He was designed. This particular Captain America, Steve Rogers, was supposed to be a poster boy. You know, they gave him the serum and everything like that, and they basically gave him fluff jobs to do. Because, you know, the whole time he was like, well, I want to fight. And they were like, yeah, we're going to see. Because that's what Bucky was created. Bucky was a soldier. But wait, was Bucky created, because I'm escaping now. Was Bucky created by Hydra, or was he an American soldier that got turned?
He was an American soldier that was brainwashed. Captured and brainwashed.
Okay, but
so he was
dead, and yeah.
Okay.
So he was a soldier.
He was just a regular soldier. That's right.
Regular soldier that turned into an assassin.
Okay. Yeah. And to your point, Steven, yeah, he is. He's this Captain America is the Captain America that I guess
military
what
wanted.
This is what they want.
This is what the military wanted.
This is the new Captain America for the new age. I'm just trying to figure out how you, I guess we can just go ahead and dump the whole thing that the guy he killed was a terrorist and he had just killed,
Battlestar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stop the car. Yeah.
Anyone who was annoyed by Battlestar, he was caught a break there.
I'm guessing that's how they're going to do the damage control on this.
Absolutely.
The problem is that his switch is not. He's something tells me they're going to have to put him down and get another Captain America.
There's no one to rein in that part of him. I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So because Hoskins is gone, actually. You know, seeing the blood on the shield was pretty striking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you made you think, I've never, of all the times we've seen Captain America, Steve Rogers do his thing in the MCU, I'm not going to say for the comics, never seen human blood on that shield.
Mm-hmm. True.
Alien blood, maybe. Actually, I've never seen alien blood either. Come to think of it. But to see the blood on the shield was so damning.
He used it as a shield. This dude, Rodney King, this cat.
He uses it as a weapon.
Again,
funny, makes you kind of wonder about the Civil War debate, don't it? I'm just saying. Call back to Civil War. I don't trust governments. You know, governments could be corrupted. Come on, Steve, you're being silly. Just saying. Steve might have had a point there.
And on an extra fun note, did you guys hear that Marvel released Zemo an version? Hour's worth of Baron Zemo clubbing.
Mm-hmm. We be clubbing?
Just him at the club doing his little Baron Zemo dance.
That German pump, fist pump thing.
I kind of had too much to do to sit through the whole thing. You know,
I'm just glad he didn't go all. I'm just glad he didn't go all techno Viking on us. Oh. Yeah, went all techno Viking on us, then it would have been a wrap. That would have been a wrap.
Yeah, you know what? After hearing that, the first thing popped in my mind was the scene from White Chicks when Terry Crews was on the
right with the lights,
with the whistle and the wire
and the glow sticks
and the glow sticks,
and he's all acid it out.
Oh man.
It wasn't quite that dramatic.
No,
Falcon Winter Soldier.
And it's that also begs the question, why is there not an hour of that footage somewhere? Just Terry Crews, you know.
It probably is.
Well, there probably is. No one ever thought to ask.
Right, right. No, the Wayans brothers got it. The Wayans brothers use it for comedy at home. They just sit there watching Terry Crews dance with the glow sticks going like this. That nigga funny.
Smoking a little something, something.
Man, none, all of them, probably all, half of them, a couple of them.
Great
conversations, though, in Winter Soldier, too. Interesting, quiet moments, like between the shit getting beat out of somebody and punching up Grace off of somebody. You know, the Carly Sam moment. And I'm say this, and the Walker and Hoskin moments were beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like seeing Walker and Hoskins actually talking, because you know you do understand that it doesn't make it so easy to hate them. I mean, they do a good job in creating complex characters, right? They're not just one note kind of people. Hoskins is not he's a bully. Mm-hmm. He's a hothead, mm-hmm. right? But it doesn't come from nowhere,
right?
Right? It's not like a void that he was just born and was like this. You know, it came from somewhere, and it came from what him and Hoskins actually had to go through in the Afghan War,
right? Right.
And so, a part of me felt, I'll be honest, a part of me felt hurt for him. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I know it's not something he wants to go in there. He wants to go in, but it's kind of like just an easy way. I wonder if they're going to bring up him actually still suffering from PTSD, or if he is still suffering from PTSD. And they never actually wanted to deal with it because they needed Captain America.
Mm. Yeah.
That would be.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, I mean, that rage, I mean, losing your friend like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
After you had that conversation of how many people we could have saved if we had that serum, mm-hmm. you got the serum now and you still couldn't save your boy.
Yeah.
How much of a failure do you think he feels like now? Mm. You know what I mean? That's harsh for him, I think.
Yeah. Well, he gonna feel like more of a failure on the cover of the Times or the Daily Bugle.
You mean the Wakanda word?
Oh, that too.
The Wakanda word.
Wakanda word.
No,
Dory Milaje. Right. Dory Milaje beats the brakes off of this little bitch.
Right. Well, right. Yeah, exactly. And then he goes off and gets mad and stabs somebody with a shield.
Yeah. An unarmed man.
And they probably watched that from the roof or some shit, mm-hmm. by the way. So they know it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting to see how they wrap all of that up. Pretty bananas.
Beautiful thing. We got live action, great live action storytelling and emotional content with MCU, and we got cartoon emotions with DC. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So speaking of the DC slams, so there are a bunch of memes going out about this Baron Zemo dance hour thing, right?
Right.
And the memes basically say how the release of the Snyder Cut took 1,200 days and all this other shit, right?
Right, right.
And Marvel fans asked for Baron Zemo and got it in 6 or 3 or some shit like that. And I was just like,
oh.
Wow. I mean, yeah. I think, I mean, to be fair, that's kind of apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah, because they didn't have slow motion and aqua hose.
Well, right.
Singing in the background. You right there, Mark?
Said aqua hose. But, you know, I mean, it's like the whole movie versus just like B-roll of your boy, like, you know, doing his thing, so to speak. You know, but still, it's just kind of funny how it's a never-ending thing that DC is just always, it looks like they're just always going to be behind an eight ball. And mainly because I want to say their execution in terms of just catching up to Marvel was just off from Jump Street.
Yeah.
You know, you know, like we've said in previous episodes, Marvel took their fucking time. Yeah. They gave you separate movies. So after each of those separate movies, you care about Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man, specifically Iron Man. And then they round them all together, and you know, and don't even really have to throw a whole bunch of Hulk stuff at you, because you know, half of us were watching Bill Bixby beat a Hulk, so it's not like we don't understand how the Hulk rocks.
Right.
I wonder if part of it also is, I think what you're saying is that's actually true, is that not taking their time, and them not taking time, not understanding that, you know, the DC characters have their own tones, right? You can't, not every DC character is Dark Knight.
No.
Right? So to bring this Dark Knight feel to the Justice League, I think kind of did them a disservice, to be honest.
No, you're right.
Because you have Batman, they should have just rolled with a Constantine reboot if they really wanted to keep some dark shit. And then have Superman, Wonder Woman, and they really need to fucking figure out the Green Lantern.
Yeah, they do.
Because he's such an integral part of it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I thought the first Wonder Woman movie was fine.
Yeah, 85 was a problematic.
85, yes. 85 had some holes.
What do you think, Mark?
Yeah. I think what I really think that what DC should do. They need to take a page from the X-Files. What they should do is all of their stuff should be based in television. Things like the major battles go to the movies with the cast from the television shows. Rather than because here's the problem with what I'm beginning to see, DC's characters are very, very ingrained in myth. And the worlds that they come from are still ingrained in myth. And so trying to find a balance where you can marry all of that together into the real world is what makes it difficult. Metropolis and Gotham, all of these Metropolis, and I'm going to particularly pick these two because both of these cities are supposed to be New York in some form or fashion.
Right.
But here's the problem. You could not have a Dark Knight movie and a Superman movie filming in New York, because they're supposed to be two different places. They're supposed to have their own, which is why I love the fact that they had a Gotham TV show, because Gotham, like Metropolis, like Atlantis and all of these other places, are their own characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Marvel characters are ingrained in our world. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, there's, for the exception of Thor, and I guess the Submariner, which who has never shown up yet, if you've noticed that he's not shown up in any of the Avengers stuff yet, but all of those characters can fit into everyday life because everything basically takes place in New York. You know, it's in New York. It's in this one place. They can come from different places. But I think the problem happens at DC is that DC, someone in the film department is thinking, well, what we need to do is hurry up and cash in these dollars on the fad that's going over at Marvel. Mm-hmm. But I like The Flash. I liked Arrow. I like Black Lightning. Mm-hmm. You could have done, you know, Supergirl, all of these other things. I think if you would have just done these shows, because in the shows, we get to fall in love with these characters. We get to, it's a baby step process where we get to learn about these characters. True. To try and do all of that in a 2-hour movie and then turn around and put everybody together. Marvel actually made that one mistake. If I could, and the only time I saw them kind of trip over their own feet was when they did the thing on Netflix,
the Defenders,
because Iron Fist was so badly fleshed out that
he became
the weak link in all of that. Absolutely. It was a good show.
Yeah.
It was a good show, but the problem was they realized they didn't develop him properly and it went to hell in the handbasket.
And he was miscast.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That
was I blame all that shit on Ike Perlmutter. Fuck him. It was his fault. It's literally his fault. Fuck him.
All right.
But I think that's what, because DC is, their television and their animation are really great. The stories.
The animation is, it's just one home run after the next. You're absolutely right.
And that's the sad part, because it's like, wow, you guys do such a fantastic job. And then you come over into, and I also think just from reading.
Right.
And I'll get crap for this, but I think a lot of the DC fans, you can't make these people happy.
Are toxic? You're saying they're toxic?
No.
Not all of them, but
they're not toxic. But it's just like I've watched people. I've literally watched people complain about the Snyder Cut before it came out. Okay. And was like, "This is going to be trash. I'm not this." And then sit through it. Mm-hmm. And spend days bashing it. And I'm like, so then what did you watch it for?
Wow.
You know, I knew the Dark Phoenix movie was not going to be good. I didn't watch it. I'm not going to put myself through it. Eventually I will at some point, but I don't see the point of putting myself through a 4-hour movie so that you could get to the end to complain. About it's like paying money to see a band you don't like and then going online and like their performance was garbage.
Oh, bro, that's called hate watching. That's called hate watching. I do that shit with Vikings all the time.
Oh wow.
Wait, I was gonna give you a reason why the animated DC animated world is so superb and so ahead of the DC EU movies.
Were you gonna say Dwayne McDuffie?
No. Well, thank you for bringing that up, though. But I was going to say, because, you know, Warner Brothers don't like dealing with real people.
Oh, snap.
They're like, yo, if they can deal with one person and that one person talks to the rest of the artists, that's what they want to do. They got to deal with contracts, like talent contracts, and the writer, and the insurance, all these actors and the extras. And these other motherfuckers, who are they? Nah, DC don't want it. DC don't know how to deal with people. That's why the animated series is so awesome. I'll say that. That's my conspiracy theory for the night.
All right.
You thinking about it, though?
Yeah, I am thinking about it. I mean, I don't know. What's the voiceover director lady, Andrea?
Andrea Romano.
Romano,
I think it is, who does Superman and Batman and
So basically what Kirk is saying is that Andrea Romano is doing the God's work in terms of handling the casts of the animated series of the various DC vehicles.
Oh man.
But I brought up Dwayne McDuffie because he was a part of the ground launch, mm-hmm. I want to say, of a lot of the DC animated properties.
Justice League particular, right?
Justice League, definitely.
Particular, yeah.
Like, he was up front. And now we're back to somebody else who unfortunately died way too young. And, you know, and of course, I'm always thinking money. So I'm just thinking, how much money would Dwayne McDuffie be making right now? Not to mention the fact they would have probably put him in charge of the DCU.
Instead of Geoffrey Johns?
Yes. Right. Yes. Right. Definitely. Johns. Definitely. Right. You know, because you know how that kind of thing goes. It's like, all right, let's see if this guy who has created this magic over here, let's mm-hmm. see if he can do it over here. I think that's mm-hmm. I think that would have happened. I'm
right.
reasonably mm-hmm. sure that Dwayne McDuffie would have, you know, just blown the fuck up. You know, I don't even know if we'd be talking about Joss Whedon at all.
Mm. Or Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder, maybe. Because, I don't know, some people have such...
Hard on for him.
Yeah. And for me, he's... I mean, you know, Justice League, all right, fine. Congratulations, thank you. You know, and all that. But some of the other stuff he's done, I've been a little less than, mm-hmm. you know, thrilled. Mm. Sucker Punch in particular comes to mind because that movie made absolutely no fucking sense.
Shit, I'll give you 300 also to top it off.
Oh well,
okay. Kind of like 300.
I do too. Until you find out to find out that they used it to recruit people to fight in the Afghan war. I would, you know, and you know how I am about that sword and sorcery fantasy shit. I would have loved it too. Mm-hmm. Except it was a little too jingoist for me.
Yeah,
it's a little too jingoish. Yeah.
I mean, when you know your Black history, 300 can be problematic. As much fun as the movie may be on the surface, but yeah, you know, I'm not even getting in on, you know, I'm not even necessarily trying to do the political side of that. It's just. It's just like, just in terms of storytelling, you know, it's like, clearly he's gotten better, but he also had 4 fucking hours.
Now, an aqua hose.
And aqua hose, yes. And that's important. And
he spent literally 5-4 minutes in the movie watching these women sing to a motherfucker who ain't there no more. He went in the water. Aquaman just—he dove in the water. They singing. He can't hear you sing. Why are you singing? And why are you still singing? And holy shit! Did the movie stop? No, they still singing. And then she goes sniff his sweater. Really, really, Zach? Did you really have to do that, Zach?
Well, I guess I think he was making the point that you have clearly picked up on.
They're aqua hoes?
Yeah, all right. If that's what we're going to call them, sure.
I'm sorry.
I would have probably gone with aqua groupies.
I'd like to say aqua groupies too, except they're a little creepy with the smelling sweater thing.
Fair.
That was creepy.
Yeah, a little.
That was unnecessary.
Flattering, depending on who you are in that, like, you know.
True. Well, he ain't flattered because he left.
He wasn't that flattered because he left. Like, yeah, y'all a little, you know, and Bruce, I'm gonna go talk to my dolphins real quick.
Yeah, and Bruce Wayne was looking at it like, the fuck y'all doing? What the fuck y'all doing?
Yeah, he actually did have that look on his face.
He had that look on his face. What the fuck y'all doing?
okay, I'm trying to put a superhero team together, and what the hell kind of crazy Charles Manson ass fucking
right? Jim Morrison cult shit you doing?
Walked into here. What is this bullshit?
Shit.
And, you know, I mean, to Kirk's point, I guess when they were on the attack and he jumps on top of the Batmobile and says, you know, you really are crazy. I guess Batman's response should have been, well, I ain't got hoes sniffing no sweaters, though. Like, what are you talking about? Get off my car. You know, it's like.
You know, and I get the funny image that one of them women was actually Martian Manhunter. Just singing. And he's like, I ain't going to let him know I'm here yet.
Oh, snap.
I'm just going to sing with these ladies here.
Yeah. And I mean,
Marshall, he's everywhere.
We already beat the hell out of the fact that that visit to Lois made no sense.
Mm-hmm. That visit to Bruce ain't make no sense.
But you know what?
What?
Here's the thing. Without the Lois thing.
Okay.
Or let's just have the real mom go talk to Lois. Okay. Right. And let that be what that is.
Yeah.
And again, not trying to, you know, mess with my man's check or whatever, but I think that makes more sense because again, you know, not to beat this point to death, but it's like you were around, but you didn't participate in the fight. So, you know, I have a problem with that. Like, if he just kind of shows up drifting out of the air like a little snow angel and he, you know, all right, look, you know, I'm here now and Darkseid's actually trying to figure out how to get here. So you might want to get it together. You know, I want to say that would have felt smoother to me. That would have felt smoother to me.
All the respects to DMX. Wait, you gonna tell me you say all the time? And you want to come in here when we're trying to do this thing? Darkseid show up and you want to be here? Little bitch. Get off my terrace.
And yes, in a more perfect world where DMX is actually Batman, that is probably that's probably what that conversation would have been.
There are alternate universes in DC. Or, so.
Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah. Or it would have probably just been something like, you see this match right here? And folks that aren't familiar, so Martian Manhunter is actually very afraid of fire. That's why this particular joke works.
Mm-hmm.
You see this match right here, boy? Get off my porch, motherfucker. Yeah, so that's... Get off. You know, and it's so funny because I actually recently saw a panel where Bruce is confronting Batman is confronting Martian Manhunter and just reminding him, it's like, look, I have a $70,000 piece of a meteorite from Krypton. Ain't nothing for me to go get a pack of matches. And he just like walks away. It's just like, see that? Well, that's why he's Batman.
That's why he's Batman.
Because he is on some fuck your feelings type shit. But just getting back to Baron Zemo and the dancing and everything else like that. It's like Marvel, just like they have the room now to just do whatever the fuck to us, because. And I feel like I may have said this before, but you know, it bears repeating. They've got us caring about the Falcon now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Winter Soldier. We're waiting for a Black Widow movie. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, we weren't having these conversations. We didn't care, you know. And they are just running through the catalog. Just running through the catalog. And the thing is, it's like, oh, so we just gonna have Vision, Scarlet Witch, and all these other folks just running through, and we just gonna be like, take our money. And they played some serious long game, and it just is what it is. The crazy thing is, DC just has just as deep a bench, but they may never get to that point. Never get to that point.
You know what? Yeah. Good luck to them with Suicide Squad, for real.
Yeah, and that's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Good luck to them with Suicide Squad.
If Suicide Squad doesn't jump off, I think Black Adam will do well.
Yeah. But that's Black Adam. Yeah. But I think Suicide Squad is gonna start it off for him. And they need to give more love to Birds of Prey. They ain't giving no love to Birds of Prey, and they really that movie really actually deserves it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what? Yes, you're absolutely right.
Just for the content, just for the motivation of Harley Quinn. Mm-hmm. Why does she do what she do? Just for that alone, they should give Birds of Prey a lot more credit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But going back to Mark's thing about DC fans versus Marvel fans. I mean, hey, you know, there's a certain level of male toxicity within the comic book thing. So
I mean, it also could be that Marvel actually listens to their fans.
Mm.
As opposed to, you know, I don't know how well DC, you know, when people complain to DC, does DC go, you know what, we heard you and, you know, we want to make things, you know, we want to make things more entertaining and we want to stick to the, because I know that I saw a write-up about Wonder Woman 1984. Mm-hmm. That had to do with, and did not even go this deep over the fact that Trevor was in another man's body and she was having her way with him.
Yeah.
And then when he left, the fact that she never even acknowledges the man whom she was having this. And I was like, and somebody basically akined it to rape. And I was like,
yeah, I read that.
Because Trevor was inside this guy the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you know, I didn't even go that far down the rabbit hole thinking about the fact that, you know, maybe it would have been different if we had been seeing the guy he was inside of rather than Trevor. Maybe complained about, and I was like, wow, this is, I don't even know what to take away from that at that point. It's like that once we get to that point, I can't even watch the movie for what it's supposed to be, which is it's a stylized comic book movie. Now I feel like, you know, I was wrong for even watching the thing, you know. And
you felt dirty.
See, I don't know.
I had a problem with what I saw. When I saw that, that did actually bother me because I was thinking to myself, well, you can actually just do a Thanos and bring them all back to life. Like, just bring, like, not even involve an idea of a ghost inhabiting another person's body.
Mm-hmm.
You can just have them actually materialize back to life. Because that's the wish.
Mm.
All right. The wish wasn't inhabit somebody's body so I can, you know, because I want my Steve. I want Steve back.
Mm-hmm.
I want the man I love back.
But that's
all the memory anyway.
That's just the monkey. That's the monkey paws. That's the monkey's paw kind of.
I'm kind of on the fence with it. Not that I don't understand the argument or don't appreciate the argument. But this is not the first time we've seen this in a movie. And especially, as far as vampires go, for example, there's a lot of that, you know, possession of a different body, and there's been a lot of that going on. And
those are usually bad guys, right? Those are usually bad guys, right?
Usually, yeah.
Not Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay. Not Wonder Woman. But
Just saying.
Fair. But it also, I mean, okay, Bram Stoker's Dracula,
which
is played sympathetically, I just felt like, I appreciate the argument, but it's not like the first time this kind of thing's been portrayed or whatever, so that's probably why they didn't see it as a big issue or what have you, and even may have thought of it as romantic, because, you know, on some Ghost and Mrs. Moore type shit, you know,
exactly what they were doing.
Right. Yeah. You know, right. Let's call it what it was.
Well,
it wasn't
the funny thing is the movie Ghost didn't do that. He didn't actually take somebody else's body over so he can have sex with Demi Moore.
Well, that would have been weird
because he was considering
that he would have been Whoopi Goldberg.
I'm just saying.
That's a completely different movie, right?
Oh my god!
That would have been an interesting conundrum.
They did kiss though. Now that I remember correctly, they did almost have a kiss.
Almost had a kiss.
Yeah. No, they kissed.
Whoopi Goldberg and Demi Moore.
No.
Patrick Swayze. They showed Patrick
as the ghost.
Yes.
Right.
But not possessed in another dude's body kissing him.
No, it was Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay.
And to your point, Kirk, they were the good guys. The bad guy was breaking the door.
Until that back massage machine comes out. That's not a back massage machine. You massage your back with that?
No. Whoa.
Look at him. There's that T right there. Beef, bear, and shenanigans.
My darling, I hunger for your touch. Hello. Right?
Stop giving that man ammo.
Oh
wow.
Oh my god.
Like I said.
Oh, Thor Melage.
Yeah, exactly. I bet you wouldn't be. Never mind. I'm not even gonna do that.
Yeah, don't even ask because you know that's all that shit ain't gonna be on Instagram.
No.
That's not gonna work. You're gonna see me like you know doing peace signs in front of a rhino. That's about it.
That's all you're gonna get. Trying to hand it a daisy.
Wakanda.
De La Soul ain't dead. De La Soul ain't dead.
Wakanda welcomes Kirk Johnson and his new farm. It's like they not letting you in. You're gonna be right outside.
I shit you not. I will be messing with the same rhino just to get into the Wakanda. Like day 7, bag of rocks in my hand. This rhino gonna chase me in there. I'm gonna get there finally. Stupid rhino.
Oh my god.
Get me, stupid rhino. Help! The rhino is chasing me. Stupid rhino.
Oh my goodness.
did any of you happen to catch them?
I am about 4 episodes in, and it's heavy. It is heavy, heavy, heavy.
Catch what in?
Them.
No, have not. From what I've heard on the on FB. It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's
a heavy pill. And I haven't even seen his house yet.
Mm-hmm.
With the two immigrants from Africa who are in London and the house. I still haven't seen that yet. Because the subject matter just for me is just so like it's just too it's heavy. It's a heavy pill.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can just walk around Brooklyn angrier than I already am.
You know that there's some interesting dynamics with a lot of these shows that I'm beginning to, and it kind of piggybacks off of the stuff that Steven has been doing with his with the Black history and everything. Mm-hmm. Let's begin with the fact that I had no clue, maybe because I don't live on the West Coast, that Compton at one point was white.
Well, yeah.
How about that?
Much like how when I was in college, I didn't know Harlem at one point was all white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself is an interesting history lesson. I will say I'm three episodes out from the end. And there is one episode that made me think of the piece that Steven did about the highways. And they go into how they sold Black people these homes in these white neighborhoods, but gave us interest rates so high we would never pay them off.
Murder, yes.
And but sold us on the promise of this is a better way of life. Mm-hmm. And basically would just funnel us in to these neighborhoods with the idea, particularly those men and women who served in the armed forces and were coming back, and they were like, oh, we got this great deal for you. And they put you, and if you were able to survive not being chased out of these neighborhoods, they just kept pouring more of us in there, to the point where there is a statement made in one of the guys makes this statement that, you know, Black people will be eager to move into these neighborhoods because they don't even want to live among themselves. And I was like, that was one of those whoa moments where it's like, wow, that's interesting that that kind of conversation happens within this, which plays out to the rest of the context of the entire show itself and what's going on. But it is a hard pill to swallow. And I'm finding myself now, just off of, just piggybacking off of Lovecraft Country and all the intensity of that, I'm finding myself now, these shows are extremely difficult to watch, but necessary to watch.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm sitting through them because not so much just as a patron of the arts and saying, you know, I have to continue to support the brothers and sisters who are doing this. But there's a lot of information that through these shows we were not privy to. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's important that we, if you look at it and go, well, did that actually happen? The fact that the next thing you're doing is going on your computer to Wikipedia or whatever to look it up and see the truth behind it.
Yes, yes.
It's worth the pain to understand, you know, this kind of program.
Yeah. All right. So next week we will have probably finished at least two of us finished them by then. And we'll get cracking on that. I'm sure there's going to be more stuff to say about Falcon and Winter Soldier. There's some other stuff going on, I want to say. Pre-show, this, that, and the other thing, whatever. But that's pretty much our time. Fellas, as always, it's a great way to spend a Sunday talking to the two of you. We're gonna get back on track with getting some guests in here though. We just gotta figure some shit out. That's it. Without any bells and whistles or extra hoopla around that. But that's our show tonight. Thank you all for listening, watching, checking us out, hanging out with us. For Kirk Johnson and Mark Abbott and myself, just want to say peace out. We love you, and we'll see you soon.
Aquaman.
Shut up.